Sunday night, or L'chaf Tesgir, Shar HaBechina, Chavis Halbobas, Women's Shir, Sunday night, Lila Nishmas, Chaim Ephraim, Reb Nosson. And we're in Perakev, Shar HaBechina, and I'm trying to get my act together. I hope you'll bear with me. Every time I think how to learn it and how to... So if it's boring, you'll let me know. If you want to just... So what did we learn in the last paragraph that we learned? I'm not going to go over it inside. I'm saying it ba'al peh very quickly. We learned about transformations, the miracle of transformations from inorganic material. He says, again, he says the best thing to practice Bechina on is the person, because we're the most available. And if we think, that's his Ikkei Yesodus, think, contemplate, observe. Don't just be used to something and not think about it. And he keeps throwing in those verbs, chashov, tachshov, tireh. Okay, so the first thing is, she says, okay, we're going to think about a person, and you're going to think about that you exist, and how you came into being, and it's all these transformations. And we talked a little, we touched, I didn't have it so clear in my mind how much to say, how little to say. Today will be a little better, Mitzvah Shem. But he talked about the transformation of inorganic material to organic material, which is a nace, and so many things have to happen to bring it together. And then organic material becomes food, because food has nutrients. So that's a huge change, that it becomes food. Right? The Chavis Halbov was talking over a thousand years ago, he wasn't a scientist, he wasn't a doctor, but he observed, and he saw these transformations. And from food, you go into people, and people, animals, and people eat meat, or people eat vegetables. Vegetables means plant life, fruits, vegetables, things that grow. Or they eat animals that eat things that grow. And miraculously, a person is created from that. And then that person has zera and dam from the father and the mother, and then a new person grows out of that. And so he said, that's just overwhelmingly amazing. We're going to start now with the words, V'chasher tizbonein b'zeh. Yeah, anybody have V'chasher tizbonein b'zeh. When you look into these things, you see again, tizbonein, again he says it. If you look into these things, the tireh, and you see simen, Hatova, v'achochma, v'yecholas. Those are the three themes of Shar HaBechina. You see that Hashem's a meitiv, tova, achochma. Chochma includes planning and design and complexity and how different things have to come together at exactly the right temperature or at exactly the right moment or at exactly the right combination and not too, right? We saw about the whole world with physics, the laws of nature, as we call them, with the hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen, and everything has to be exactly a certain way. So that's all chachma. And yecholes, because you're creating, like I said, inorganic becomes organic, and it becomes life, a life force. So that's yecholes. Hashem is like, it's amazing, it's just amazing. So you see these three things. Histakel, and now he wants to take you further. He didn't even scratch the surface yet of a person. He's going to spend most of the perek talking about the things a person does, like a person remembers and is happy, and why we forget things, and parents and children. Like, well, this is all Shara Bechina, all the different things Hashem made. He's going to just touch upon the biology of a person, but I want to go into it much more. I downloaded a lot of material. It's a science class, but just, he had no idea. Like, he just throws out words like he's going to say soon, a person's natural temperature. Now, I don't know what he knew and what he didn't know. He couldn't have known too much. So he's going to say soon that one of the main things as a person is a natural temperature. So I did a little research on, you know, what keeps a person at the temperature that he has. And like nisim. It's unbelievable how the body creates its own temperature and regulates it. We'll see. I'm just saying, he just touches with words, which we're going to learn in this paragraph, and really most of the in his sentences and paragraphs talk more about the things that a person undergoes, the experiences. That's what I'm looking for. A person's experiences, like memory and forgetfulness and happiness and sadness and the fact that he could be creative and have ideas. But today we're still going to learn just the words he's throwing out. So he says, Histakel, now I want you to observe. V'chashov, you see, I told you, and we just saw three words. Tizbonein, Tire, Histakel, V'chashov. B'sharoshe chiburo hanire. That means the fundamental makeup of a person, which he's going to say now, what that is. Ritzoni lomar nafsho v'gufo. That's already unbelievable. The fact that the life force, life, he's not talking about now the neshama, the spiritual neshama. He's going to say that in the next line, or in two lines. Here he's Pasha talking about life. And I said last week, that itself is just the connection. We don't even know what life is, but there's a connection between the physical body and life. We don't, like, what makes a person alive, what makes them dead. Life is not the definition of life. It's not the breathing. The definition of life is not the brain waves. The definition of life is not the blood coursing through your body. That's not the definition of life. Life is an intangible concept. And Hashem, you don't feel it. You know, it's a concept. And Hashem took a life force, and animals have a life force also. And he was makasher it, that it should exist in and through a physical body. In other words, if a person can bleed to death, and if a person's head is blown to bits, he does die. But that in itself says something. Hashem, that's what we should think about, how Hashem took a life force, which is an intangible concept, and was makasher it to a physical thing, which theoretically people in iftar and in their beds, and the body is still there, right? As you say, you know, he died, the person died, his neshama left his body. That's really, so that kishur is amazing. Tire gufa odam, but if you examine a person, because you're looking into it, you'll find that gufa odam murkav miyosodos chalukim, a person has many different parts to his body. A person's not an amoeba. A person's made up of an amazing amount of things, as he will enumerate: the blood, nerve endings, tendons, muscles, ligaments, the blood. There's so many different things in a person, and they're all working together. Tvom shenem domim. Not everything has different natural laws. Everything is different, but they all function together. They all come together in a person, and they work together. And the person lives and walks and talks and thinks. And there's all different kinds of things going on. It's like this huge... It's like everything's going on. Electrical impulses and engineering and maneuvering. And the blood's going back and forth and bringing nutrition to the cells and taking away the garbage, and the person coughs and blinks. So many things going on, and they're working. It all comes together in a person. Chibram habori yisala b'gburo. So he wanted to think about these things. Uksharam b'chachmaso, and it works. Right? You ever see like a robot? The person doesn't look like a robot. The disjointed thing clunking back and forth. The person moves like a very... person has movement, it's beautiful, right? You don't have to watch the ballet. That's what he's saying, really. You know, you shouldn't have to watch a ballet to be in the spoil over the movement of the human body. Like, it all works together. A person could swivel his neck. If you did research, it's amazing that we could swivel our necks. First of all, that we could tell ourselves to swivel our neck. That's electricity. There's something in the brain that could swivel. And I don't know how this works. It's not poshut. Not poshut that you have something that just swivels back and forth. And you know, and sometimes there's a joint. And then you go like that. It's on the kneecap. It's very, very complicated things. We'll see in a second. V'schaber mimenu guf oimit. So that's what you should think about. You should think about just the, like, these are the basic components of a person. And Hashem took all these things and made them one guf. M'sache b'mariso. You know, a person looks nice. I mean, some people look nicer than others, but like, it fits the face, the body, and the arms and the legs. We don't look like the Martians in science fiction, who have like eyes coming out of their bellies and horns and like look like these evil, mean, disgusting green creatures. We look, you know, basically we look okay. We're pleasing. Masache b'mariso, it fits together. Mischalek b'tva'ov, but so many different things. And v'chiber olav etzem ruchni aviri. So that's, now he's talking about the neshama. Now he's saying it's just unbelievable that before he was talking about the life force, whatever that means. Now he's talking about we're spiritual beings. We have, part of us is malachim. We are domet to malachim. Part of us is a malach. We have a spiritual side to us. Now, maybe that's where idealism comes from, or maybe creativity. Maybe not creativity, because a malach would not be creative either. I don't know, maybe, yeah. We saw in Shara Avodas Elokim, I think, that creativity, chachma, is really like nevuah. Hashem's talking to us. Remember we saw his lashon when he started talking about chachma. He said that's how Hashem speaks to us, through wisdom, through giving us wisdom. Maybe creativity, having ideals, having principles, like these are malach-type things. The fact that a person feels like he wants to accomplish, he wants to do good. Like most people have these inner hergeshim of good. They have a yetzahara, but they have, this is malach, this comes from the neshama. And Hashem was, now he's talking about that Hashem, we're not thinking about it. Because if you've thought about that for a few hours, he wants you to think about that Hashem connected a neshama, a etzem ruchni aviris, a spiritual aspect, doyme l'ruchni yosha'ishim ha'elyonim, which is like malachim, right? And maybe, I don't know, malachim don't have emotions, but emotions, he's talking about emotions, he's not talking about physical things, he's talking about beyond the physical. So he must be talking about things like emotions, feelings, aspirations, ideals. Domel ruchnius or ishim hoel yonim. The zeha etzem hu nafsho. This is called the soul. Asher, and that's more than life. This is the soul. He talked about life before when he said nafsho v'gufo in the beginning of the paragraph. But here he's talking about nafsho, which is like the ishim hoel yonim, like the upper spiritual beings, the zeh etzem hu nafsho asher ksharabo beemtzoyim ruuyim l'shtei aktzavos. That's amazing. You're connecting a dover gashmi, like the biggest nation in the world, even though we keep saying that. To connect a dover, what material will connect a dover gashmi with a dover ruchni? Scotch tape. Like, what's going to do it? You can't connect two things that have no shaykhus in other. It's like trying to connect, I don't know, it's much harder than trying to connect fire to water. You know, you want to connect physical to physical, so you use scotch tape or a nail or a staple. How do you connect Ruchni to Gashmi? He says, and it has some ties, Asher Kesharo Bo, Be'emtsoyim, through the means, Ruyim L'shteyak Tzavos. It works. It's the two extremes. And there's one extreme is physical, one extreme is spiritual, but they're tied together. With what kind of a string? Maybe with tzitzis, I don't know. Maybe it's tied together, and the person contains a neshama. Now he's going to say, Chaydus Alvolis is going to present what he calls the this is where the bond, amazing, this is where the bond, he's going to give you a list now of the things that bond the physical and the spiritual. And this is the list. Ruach HaChayim, a life force, which we don't know what it means, it's intangible. The Hachom HaTivi, the natural warmth of the body. I guess that's sort of, that's, we'll see in a second, that already I did research on. That's a nace that it exists, but in the natural warmth of the body. The Hadom, and it's in the blood. The blood is Hadom Hu HaNefesh, it says in Chumash. The Dom is the Nefesh of a person.
Saying the life force, whatever that is in all these.
These, no. This is how I'm reading it. He says Hashem tied through Emtzoim, through certain means, Shteyak Tzavos, which means the Gashmius and the Ruchnius. The Haim, and these are the things that are the bonds. That's what I think. Hashem Sharboba Emtzoim Ruim Shteyak Tzavos. The Haim, and these are the things which bond the two things together. He is giving a list. This is what he holds is the scotch tape, the staple that connects Gashmius and Ruchnius.
Exactly.
Ruach Chaim, which is more, is an intangible, really. I don't know what to call it. Life force. V'hachom ativi, that is a connecting force. The natural warmth of the body is somehow connecting. We don't know how, but he's giving us a list. These are the things that connect Ruchnius to Gashmius. The natural warmth of the body, the dom and blood, the hagidim and the tendons, the atzabim is the nerves of the body, the haurkim and the blood vessels. And this is what makes a person alive. This is what I don't know, this is what he says. This is what connects the power of life to the body, or the ruchnius part of life to the body. Okay, that's what he says. Now, so let's go through this list. The life force, I don't know what it is. It's an intangible, but the warmth of the body. So can I read to you? I don't know. I apologize. I don't know. Sorry, we did a. The temperature of your blood. No matter what the temperature is around you, your body maintains an average temperature of 98.6 Fahrenheit. Each species of warm-blooded animals has its own normal body temperature. Your normal body temperature is maintained by a part of your brain called the hypothalamus. That's the part of the brain that regulates your temperature. The hypothalamus, which also controls hunger and thirst, I guess in its spare time, is a temperature center, which receives messages from nerves in the skin and deep in the body, and it regulates the temperature of the blood by burning food to generate body heat when the air outside is cold, and cools your blood when the temperature outside is too hot. Now, there's ways it happens. Shivering, for example, creates body heat in cold weather. I didn't know that. That's what shivering is. Shivering and other physical activity generate body heat in cold weather, and sweating and panting cools you off in the hot weather. So whenever there's a change in the temperature of your blood, your body makes an adjustment to get it back to normal. It's automatically. You don't, obviously, we don't do this consciously. The body self-regulates itself and does things to keep the body temperature. Parenthetically, cold-blooded animals, all those except mammals and birds, do not have this built-in brain control over their body temperature and must resort to other means. Reptiles crawl into the sun to warm up and seek the shade when they're hot. Fish increase the action of their muscles to generate body heat. Okay. The body, the human body being warm-blooded, has, okay, you know, the Shara Bechina, has devised ways of taking care of itself. When you're too hot, your body will sweat. When your body needs to generate heat, it will shiver. What's really happening? Very small muscles involuntarily contract and relax in quick bursts to generate heat and to keep the blood flowing. The body's metabolism is constantly producing heat. Human body is capable of generating heat within itself internally, and body maintains a regular temperature. It's not dependent on any outside factors. It's pretty much all internal. To maintain a normal body temperature of 98.6, normal human body generates its own heat and maintains the heat. Food is the greatest energy provider, as it is transformed into energy and heat. Heat is generated by a process called oxidation. It's like combustion. The heat is then used to keep the body warm. Around 2,500 calories of heat energy is produced every single day from the body. It keeps the body warm. Food acts as a fuel to maintain constant temperature in human beings. Temperature is maintained by the part of the brain called the thermoregulatory center. Impulses are received from this center. The temperature center is responsible for maintaining body heat. Metabolism in our body makes the body warm and shivering. Okay, that's really all. Let me read from Avigdor Miller, from Rabbi Miller. I think he says it better than they do. One of the remarkable things about the human body is that it must be maintained at a constant internal temperature. Whether it's summer or winter, the body cannot be allowed to cool off or to heat up. The precise regulation of the temperature doesn't happen by itself. There's a thermostat in the brain, which is called that fancy name, a thermostat, that's really, which is constantly adjusting the heat of the body. The heat is essential to the functioning of the body and its internal processes. Just like water has to be heated in order to cook meat, the chemical reactions in the living body require the right level of heat in order to take place. In other words, the functioning of your body needs that heat in order to function. If the body temperature were to rise above normal, the heat would damage the delicate body machinery, parts of which may not be bigger than a microscopic cell. How does the body prevent its temperature from rising above a tolerable degree when the outside temperature is too hot? The body causes the skin to perspire. That is, some of the water that exists in the bloodstream is rerouted to the skin and comes out of the pores in the form of sweat. The evaporation of the sweat uses heat, which is drawn from the skin, thereby cooling the body. Perspiration in summertime is a means of keeping the body cool inside. In the wintertime, we don't perspire much because we don't want to get rid of heat. We want to maintain the heat. A person who is very cold shivers, and the vibration generates heat, which brings the body temperature back up. It is also remarkable that the body is able to perform its chemical reactions with only a small amount of heat. In comparison, to cook meat, water has to be brought to a boil. But such a high temperature would destroy everything in the body. And so the body is able, with only a little bit of heat, to achieve changes that would need very high temperatures outside the body. How can that be done? The answer is that the body makes use of enzymes. These are complex substances that help the small amount of heat in the body accomplish what needs to be done. Of course, the author of the Chavis HaLovas didn't know about enzymes and their miraculous effect. The enzymes replace the need for a constantly boiling pot on the fire inside of our body to process all the food we consume and change them into different materials that the body needs. We understand how important it is for the body to maintain a constant temperature. If the temperature varies a little, either up or down, the body will cease to function. And therefore, we have to thank Hashem for the heat that enables our bodies to function as they are meant to. And now, whoever thinks about that. When the body experiences illness, the temperature rises and the person develops a fever. This is a defense mechanism, because like anything else in the body, germs are damaged by the greater heat. But Hashem in His kindness makes the temperature rise only when the body needs it. Okay, that's the body heat. Now, that's Edel. Chayus HaVodos really puts it on a list of, it's so major. This is what's connecting the life force to the person, the neshama, the soul, this body heat. He doesn't talk about that. No, that's life. Now let's go on to blood. Blood, that's the third thing on the list. The life force, the body heat, achom ativi. See, he knew this chom tivi. He had no idea. All these things we said, I read, he couldn't have known that. Not 1,000 years ago, he didn't know that. But he knew the body has a chom, has a natural warmth. I guess that's obvious. You know that if you just think about it. The body is naturally warm, no matter how cold it is. You know, it maintains that heat. Let's say a person, if I remember anything from school, between 94 and 98.6, I think you can't go below that. At what point is it below 94? If your body dips below 94, I mean, the fever can go up to 105. Let's say 106 or Chas V'Shalom. But then it, and it go down to, but like to that's damaged. Pretty.
At what point?
Yeah. Okay. Now we'll talk about dam.
That's an amazing symptom. My daughter, when she was 2, she had a low fever, and all of a sudden, it jumped to 105. When she was getting closer to 106, she passed out. She had like convulsions and passed out. I'm sure that must have been the body's way of regulating motion.
Anyway. We know it as the body temperature, and he explains that's the everything that the body won't work. The temperature is, I guess, but he Chayus HaVodos presents it as something more, something so like basic, that natural heat that the body is generating, whether it's through food or just the thermostat. But that's a big bonding thing between the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. Now comes blood. Okay, let me try first from Rabbi Avigdor Miller. The blood that flows through the circulatory system is an amazing substance that comes into contact with every tissue of the body. It carries a river of nutrients to nourish every one of the body's 100 trillion cells. There are thousands of different nutrients in the blood, as different nutrients are needed for the hair than for the liver. Not only are all these materials being transported by the blood, they are reworked while they're carried along. Some of them, because we eat food, and then the body breaks down the food into the nutrients and puts it into the blood, and that's where these chemical reactions takes place. And sends to the liver what it needs, and to the hair what it needs, and to the, everything. They are reworked while they're being carried along. Some materials need to go through hundreds of stages until they are ready to be used by the organ for which they are destined. Imagine a delivery truck that transports wigs but contains a factory that creates hair while en route, or a bakery truck that's baking the cake while en route to its customers. Not only is it baking the cake, it's grinding the wheat, mixing it with water, and making flour. All this is being done in the blood, which is manufacturing material as it's coursing through the body. And while these thousands of nutrients are being carried along in the blood, they don't interfere with each other. How can that be? We don't put two different medicines in one bottle because of the risk of an unexpected reaction. But in the blood, not only don't the thousands of nutrients interfere with each other, the blood brings each nutrient to the right place. Imagine a delivery man who has 10,000 addresses to which he has to make different deliveries. That would be like the blood, which has 10,000 delivery addresses, each requiring different combinations of nutrients. Each delivery must be correct. If the wrong material is delivered to any address, for example, if calcium is delivered to the brain instead of to the bones, the person would be vulnerable to a stroke, chas v'shalom. Not only that, but the blood performs a garbage collection process, carrying away the used material from the cells. Imagine a big pipe carrying milk from Manhattan to Brooklyn. At the same time, the pipe is carrying oil for our furnaces, oil for cooking. There are all different types of needed liquids in the same pipe, and each one's going to the furnace, to the cooking, right? At the same time, the pipe is bringing garbage back out of Brooklyn. There are all kinds of needed liquids in this. Although the garbage water is mixing with the essential materials in the same pipe, they don't contaminate each other. An analogous condition exists in the body which needs to get rid of its wastes. We don't get rid of wastes only by elimination in the bowel movement. A great part of the waste is eliminated by the blood. The blood carries all the spent materials in the same blood flow in which it carries all the essential life-giving materials to the cells. That's a miracle. While the blood is coursing through the body, it is at the same time getting ready for the possibility of accidents. In the case of a skin cut, there is a danger that blood could pour out of the wound. To help deal with this eventuality, the blood contains a clotting agent called fibrinogen. This is a sticky substance that rushes from all parts of the body through the blood to the location of the cut. It immediately starts plugging the cut by causing the blood to coagulate. Then the flesh starts coming together and the cut is repaired as the nerves and skin grow back together. Blood cannot have too much fibrinogen because that would cause internal blockage of the narrower blood vessels, some of which are no thicker than a hair. If these blood vessels are supplying a critical organ like the brain, there would be a stroke, chas v'shalom. Since fibrinogen is so sticky, how does it pass through the blood? The answer is that it doesn't. The fibrinogen remains diluted and with the same consistency as the rest of the blood. When the system becomes aware that there's a cut someplace, that loose substance is transported to the vicinity of the wound, and only there does it become sticky. Then as it comes into contact with the ear, it becomes hard and a scab is formed to close up the wound. Airplanes today are equipped with a rubberized lining in their fuel tanks, so in case a bullet punctures a tank, it is automatically sealed and the fuel doesn't escape. This is what Hashem did in a much more sophisticated way long ago. When there's a cut in the skin, the fibrinogen pours in, hardens, and plugs it up.
That clotting is much more complicated.
Oh, yeah. Everything he says is much more complicated. And this is nothing. Let me read. 7 to 8% of the human body weight is from blood. In adults, this amounts to 4.5 to 6 quarts of blood. This fluid carries out the critical functions of transporting oxygen and nutrients to our cells and getting rid of carbon dioxide, ammonia, and other waste products. In addition, it plays a vital role in our immune system and in maintaining a relatively constant body temperature. Blood is a highly specialized tissue composed of more than 4,000 different kinds of components. 4,000. And now he's going to talk about four of the 4,000. Red cells, white cells, platelets, and plasma. All humans produce these blood components. There are no populational or regional differences, but this is 4 out of 4,000. Red cells are relatively large microscopic cells without nuclei. Red cells make up 40 to 50% of the blood volume. They transport oxygen from the lungs to all the living tissue of the body and carry away carbon dioxide. The red cells are produced continuously in our bone marrow from our stem cells. I mean, all these things is a world in itself, at the rate of about 2-3 million cells per second. Hemoglobin is the gas transporting protein molecule that makes up 95% of a red blood cell. Each red cell has about 207, I'm reading from Google now, yeah? Each red cell has 270 million iron-rich hemoglobin molecules. People who are anemic generally have a deficiency in red cells and subsequently feel fatigued due to a shortage of oxygen. The red color of blood is primarily due to oxygenated red cells. White cells exist in variable numbers and types, but make up a very small part of a blood volume, about 1% in healthy people. They're not limited to blood. They occur elsewhere in the body as well, in the spleen, liver, and lymph glands. Some white cells are the first responders. It's like Hatzalah for our immune system. They seek out, identify, and bind to alien protein on bacteria, viruses, and fungi so that they can be removed. Other white cells, called granulocytes and macrophages, then arrive to surround and destroy the alien cells. It's like a milchama, yeah. They also have the function of getting rid of dead or dying blood cells, as well as foreign matter, such as dust and asbestos. Red cells remain viable for about 4 months before they're removed from the blood and their components recycled in the spleen. Individual white cells usually last only 18 to 36 hours before they are removed. The description of white cells presented here is a huge simplification. There are many, many specialized subtypes of them that participate in various ways in our immune responses. Platelets are cell fragments, that's the third, platelets, are cell fragments without nuclei that work with blood-cutting chemicals at the site of wounds. They do this by adhering to the walls of blood vessels, plugging the rupture in the vascular wall. They release coagulating chemicals, which cause clots to form in the blood that plug up narrowed blood vessels. 13 different blood clotting factors, in addition to platelets, need to interact for clotting to occur. They do so in a cascading manner, one factor triggering another. That's what he's talking about, that it works. Hemophiliacs lack the ability to produce blood factor 8 or 9. Yeah? There's 13 blood factors, and they break down at 8 or 9. Platelets are not equally effective in clotting blood throughout the day. The body has an internal biological clock, causes the peak of platelet activation in the morning. This is one of the main reasons that strokes and heart attacks are more common in the morning. I don't really get that, but okay. Recent research has shown that platelets fight infections by releasing protein that kill invading bacteria and other microorganisms. In addition, platelets stimulate the immune system. They have a lifespan of 9 to 10 days. Okay, and then plasma is the relatively clear yellow tinted water, sugar, fat, protein, and salt solution which carries the red cells, white cells, and platelets. 55% of our blood's volume is made up of plasma. As the heart pumps blood to cells throughout the body, plasma brings nourishment to them and removes the waste products of metabolism. Plasma also contains blood clotting factors, sugar, lipids, vitamins, minerals, hormones, enzymes, antibodies, and other proteins. It is likely that plasma contains some of every protein produced by the body. Approximately 500 have been identified in human plasma so far. This is like amazing. I mean, you can spend the rest of your life on this. Anyway, according to the Chavis Halvavis, we saw a little about body warmth and blood, but it's much more than this. I keep printing out stuff. But according to the Chavis Halvavis, this is life. This is the bond. I don't know, it's like it's so enormous. So far the body warmth makes... I'm trying to make it like make sense to me, because the warmth of the body is... Remember, he said a person is a microcosm of the universe. It's like the body is the planet. So it needs a certain temperature in which things are going to function. So that's like the makom of life needs the body, and the body temperature The blood is, I guess, like in the world, like the blood is carrying nutrients and defending from attack and fixing up injuries, and like it makes sense. It's the life force. Look what it's doing. It's giving you life. When you eat food, the blood is what's all these things that blood do. Red blood cells, the disease, nutrients, vitamins. So that's all in the blood. Okay, that was. The third one is a little, like, I don't really see why, but he says the tendons, the muscles. That was the third. What do you say? Ruach Haim Chom Tibib Dom Bahagidim. Gidim is veins or tendons. Okay. So a person's muscles move his body by pulling the tendons, which are cords made of tough, rubber-like tissue that connect the muscles to the bones. To attach the rubbery tendons to the hard bones, Hashem made an intermediary bone-like material called cartilage. We can't chew cartilage because it's too tough, but it's not as hard as bone. Cartilage is a miracle, because without the cartilage, it would not be possible to attach something soft like muscles and tendons to something hard like bone. Some bones are connected to each other by ligaments, which are similar to tendons. A person's ligaments, tendons, and muscles work together to make his body move in complex ways that would require an elaborate set of mechanical lever, hoists, and winches. And it's all being done smoothly in response to the person's will, but he is completely unaware of the mechanical technology that he's employing. It is done expeditiously and perfectly because it has been designed and planned in a way that could not be equaled by the most ingenious of human engineers. Consider what's involved when a person lowers his jaw. It seems to us a simple matter, but when we study the action of the tendons that have to pull it down, we need to ask ourselves what force is actually pulling down the jaw. It becomes evident that there is a set of tendons, like an arrangement of pulleys, attached to various points of the skull that cause the jaw to go up and down. This and all the other movements of the body are accomplished in the most miraculous fashion. Even the slightest move of a finger requires an engineering skill that staggers the imagination. This is a very important subject. We can't do justice to it in a few words, but enough to know that all body movements involve great complexity and ingenious engineering. Unfortunately, a person appreciates this only when he has difficulties with it. Okay, we'll stop here. Is this okay? Like, I like learning these things.